Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever, for He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that Thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, it is written, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. I join with a pastor and with a youth pastor in congratulating you, graduates. I hope that you'll always stay true to the Word of God, to what you've been taught in Sunday school, and what you've heard from the pulpit, from the pastor here in the church. And I trust even the things that you've learned in school, if you've been in the right school, to get a solid foundation and stand forever on the solid rock. Now I invite you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about today in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 20. And as you're finding your place in the 20th chapter of the book of 2 Kings, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and it's settled right here, this wonderful book that we call the Bible. It's inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, and powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language, in the King James Version. I read 2 Kings chapter 20, only the first verse. I want you to listen very carefully. This has a great meaning for all of us. And I'll read it after I pray. Father, I pray that you would bless your word today. Pray the Holy Spirit would take it home to the heart and mind and soul of every person in this room. I pray that the boys and girls and the young people, wherever they may be on the campus, would hear your word and believe it. Men and women would come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. May we realize that we're all facing death and eternity and judgment day. Prepare our hearts for eternity as you preserve us in time, is our prayer in Jesus' name, for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 20 at verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Ladies and gentlemen, death comes to the average American family once every 11 years. Sometimes it comes when least expected. Often it comes at the end of a brief illness. Many times after a lengthy illness. In the case of Hezekiah, we do not know how long that he was sick. But we do know this one thing. The prophet of God confronted him with a cold, calculating fact. You're going to die. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I've entitled this message, The Sentence of Death. Listen again to the text. Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The prophet said in essence to Hezekiah, Your number is up, my friend. That's what God said. Could I say to you, my friend, the same warning should come to us in our hearts today. Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I submit to you in the first place that death is an appointment that each one of us must keep. Listen again to the words of the text. Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. A few years ago, the mayor of Chicago said to the people of his city and to the people of the United States, I quote him, I will live 50 years. Chicago will become the metropolis of the United States of America. New York will be afraid of Chicago. In 8 hours and 10 minutes, he was dead. That's a stern reminder of Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, as you read down through the chapter, you'll learn in verses 5 and 6 that God heard Hezekiah's prayer for healing and added 15 years to his life. Can I tell you, my friend, that only God can add to or take away from life? He's the source of all life. Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So much for evolution. God's word states clearly what God did. And Paul, in his magnificent message on Mars Hill, said in Acts 17, "In him we live and move and have our being." I have a heart-to-heart question for every person in this room. What if that summons came to you today? The psalmist said in Psalm 31:15, "My times are in thy hand." I like what William Cullen Bryant said in his Thanatopsis. "So live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan which moves into that mysterious realm where each shall take his chamber in the silent halls of death, thou go not like the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustain and soothe with an unfaltering trust. Approach thy grave like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams." Here's a word for every person listening right now. No exceptions, no exclusions. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Have you ever heard anyone say, I have? I've heard people say, "Well, the last thing I ever expect to do is to die." Oh, no, my friend. After you die, you're going to meet God. Did you know, my friend, and I'm speaking to every person in this room, did you know that you have an appointment with a God of the universe, the judge of the universe, before whom you must stand? This is the way Paul put it in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us must give account of himself to God." Someone asked Daniel Webster, "Mr. Webster, what is the most profound thought that ever entered your mind?" And he said, "My accountability to God." You see, it's death, and then it's the day of accountability, the day of judgment, appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Can I tell you, my friend, that God's missile of judgment has no reverse gear? When God pronounces judgment, it's judgment day. "Set thy house in order, or thou shalt die and not live." Genesis 5, Moses, the writer of that book, calls the roll of 8 men, and after each of their names, here's what he wrote, 3 words, "And he died." David said to Jonathan, in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, "There is but a step between me and death." Can I tell you, my friend, there's only one heartbeat between you and all eternity? There's no smoothing over it. We can't polish it up or shine it up or add something to it or take something from it. It's an absolute truth. One heartbeat between you and God. I remember a few years ago as I was leaving a local hospital where the patient that I was visiting died very unexpectedly. In fact, he died while I was in the room. As I left the hospital and walked across the parking lot to my car, I thought to myself, "One of these days, Raymond Barber, God's going to call your name and summons you to your home in heaven." And ladies and gentlemen, as I live, I'm telling you the honest truth. Is there any such thing as honest truth? I'm telling you the truth. As I live, the moment I thought that, I heard a clear, distinct, unmistakable voice say, Raymond, oh my soul, report to the front office immediately. Wow, I thought my number was up. When I regained my composure, I learned there was an auto shop over next door. And the dispatcher was paging a mechanic by the name of Raymond and ordering him to come to the front office. Well, it was a vivid reminder that one day that summons is coming to me. It should be a vivid reminder that one day that summons is coming to you. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I note in the second place that death is not the end, but rather an entrance into a life that is so much better. The wise man said in Proverbs 14:32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but watch this, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Aren't you glad there's hope? There's hope beyond the grave. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Our hope, ladies and gentlemen, is not in Wall Street. It's not in Fortune 500. It's not in the White House or the State House or the courthouse or the schoolhouse or the warehouse. Our hope is in the promises that are found in the Word of God, promises such as 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Promises such as 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Promises like Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That verse was the life verse of Dr. J. Frank Norris, who incidentally, 62 years ago today, united my wife and me in marriage. I remember in the mid-80s when we were... Thank you. I remember in the mid-80s when the Independent Baptist Fellowship International wanted to erect a monument at the grave of Dr. Norris where there was only a flat stone. The cemetery official said, well, you'll have to get the permission of the next of kin, the next living relative. I located his daughter, who was alive at that time, in Chicago. And I stated my business, and she said this, Brother Barber, I will give my permission only under one condition, and that is that you put my father's life verse on that monument. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When I was a student at the Bible Baptist Seminary more than 6 decades ago, I heard Dr. Norris say, and I quote, one of these days you will read in the papers that Frank Norris is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. It will not be true. I will be more alive than I've ever been before. And thank God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And all of our loved ones that have died, they're not sleeping somewhere in a grave. They're with Christ today. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Don't you know God rejoices when one of his children comes home? Can you imagine the joy in the heart of mother and dad when a son or daughter that's been away from home a long time comes home again? Like the prodigal son when his father fell on his neck and kissed him and welcomed him home and killed the fatted calf and said, "This my son was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he's found. Welcome home, son." The entrance that I'm talking about is into the eternal home, a place that the Bible calls heaven. My dad used to say, heaven is a wonderful place because up there there'll be no taxes and the rent will never come due. Wow, that's good enough for going. That's not the only reason. We're going to see Jesus, our loved ones. Heaven, a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven, prepared by Jesus himself. Did you know that Jesus is the architect, the designer, and the builder of heaven? I give you his word on it. John 14, here I go, quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now watch it. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven. No sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no sin, no separation. It's all new. That's what John said in the Revelation 21. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them and be their God, and God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now watch this. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Heaven, gates of pearl, and the street of pure gold. That's what John said in Revelation 21, at verse 21. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl." Now watch this. "And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Heaven, land of eternal day. Heaven, where the sun never sets. Heaven, where we'll never grow old. Heaven, where we'll never say goodbye. Heaven, where the soul of man shall never die. Heaven, no darkness, no night. Listen to what John said in the Revelation 21 and verse 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb of God is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." Now please don't miss this. "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there." And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now watch it. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Heaven, where no evil shall enter. John makes that very clear in Revelation 21 at 27, where he wrote, and there shall in no wise, are you listening? In no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Please don't miss this. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, not written on the church roll. Listen to me. In 62 years of the ministry, I've seen a lot of people slide off the end of a pew into hell. Church membership won't cut it. Turning over a new leaf won't do it. Following baptismal waters will not do it. Observing the Lord's table will not do it. There's only one thing that'll do it, and that's Jesus. His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Heaven, where we will meet our loved ones and friends and know them. Wow. Someone asked D.L. Moody, the great evangelist that shook two continents for Christ, Mr. Moody, do you think that when we get to heaven, we're going to know our loved ones? Mr. Moody replied, you know them on earth, don't you? Why, yeah. Well, I think you'll have as much sense in heaven as you have on earth. I have a more sure word than that. It's inspired. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse number 12 where Paul wrote, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And guess what? You won't have to wear a nameplate. Because your name is written in the palm of his hand. And you won't have to show an ID card because Jesus is your ID. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Nor pain nor death shall enter there. If you get there before I do, you can look for me because I'm coming too. One more thing about death and I'll be through. The third thing, death holds no fear for the Christian. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us that Jesus has already tasted death. Paul put it this way, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Watch it now, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That means you. He's already taken the sting out of death. According to Hebrews 2:15, Jesus delivers all those who live all of their lifetime in fear of death. The pastor knows this. I know this. We've talked to people. Oh, but I'm so afraid to die. I'm so afraid to die. I don't want to die. I'm afraid. Listen, for the Christian, Jesus has already, I say already, removed that fear. That's what he said in Hebrews 2:15, to deliver them, now watch it, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus has conquered death. That's what he said in the Revelation. Here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. He said in Revelation 1:18, I, he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. According to 1 Corinthians 15, did you know that death no longer has a sting and the grave no longer has victory? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I can say on your behalf and mine as believers that we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a forever business. Forever with the Lord. Forever at home. Forever with our loved ones and friends. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Can I tell you, my friend, you don't have to meet God unprepared. Jesus died to save you. He shed his blood for you. He paid the price for you. He is willing and able and ready to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Yes, he's washed my sins whiter than snow. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Life is uncertain, my friend. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. You are here today without the Savior. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus bore your sins in his own body on the tree that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. The price has been paid. All you have to do is accept it. Who would be first to step out this morning and say, I want to go to the promised land? I want to be saved. I want to unite with the church. I want to dedicate my life to Christ, whatever it might be. Would you come today, Father, speak to every heart in this auditorium. Those who may be unsaved, may they come to know Jesus. Those who are seeking a church home, may they find it here at Worth Baptist Church. For those, dear Lord, that have a fear in their hearts of the future, it may seem to them that it's totally uncertain. Help them to know that Christ died for them. They don't have to fear death. They don't have to fear eternity. They don't have to fear the judgment. Because he's already been judged for all of our sins on the cross. Help men and women and young people to come today for whatever the need might be and put it all on the altar. In Jesus' name I pray.